Well, good morning, everybody. So this past Friday, we had the Sacred Heart, the Feast of the Sacred Heart, church around the world and in heaven, celebrating in a particular way the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And we have that lovely statue right over here. And then yesterday, on Saturday, the whole church, we celebrated the wonderful feast day of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And you might not notice, but around our beautiful Mother Mary here, I took the example of the patron saint of priests, St. John Vianney, who in his church, in the little tiny city of, or tiny little town of Ars in France, placed a locket in the shape of a heart around the Mary statue in his church, and he handwrote the names of every single one of his parishioners to entrust them to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. I didn't handwrite your names, but I printed them out in very small font. And every year on the Feast of the Immaculate Heart, I update the list for all of our new members. So if you're a registered member of St. Joseph, then just know that your name is in that beautiful locket around Our Lady statue here. And in doing that, it's a way of tucking us all into in our families and our needs and our troubles and our trials and our joys and our everythings into the heart of Our Lady, so that we are safely tucked into her love, into her heart. But today we celebrate this happy day of St. Peter and Paul, which is kind of fun because it's usually not on a Sunday, but when it is, it trumps the ordinary time Sunday. So today we celebrate St. Peter and St. Paul. Our cathedral in the city of Indianapolis is named after Saints Peter and Paul. I want to reflect a little bit about what it is that Jesus gave each of them. We heard in our gospel today that Jesus gives the keys to St. Peter. And even in our beautiful window back here, it is the lovely image of Jesus giving St. Peter the keys. And there is the lovely image of St. Peter's Basilica in Rome. He's always pictured, by the way, with a gold key and a silver key. The gold key, the dogmas, the doctrines, the sacraments, these things that the Pope is in charge in a special way of protecting and spreading and defending, the deposit of faith and the practice of it. And then the silver key is that the Pope is also in charge of a lot of, you know, temporal affairs and buildings, things along those lines. And so our Pope, praise the Lord for Pope Leo XIV, we're so thankful for him, and 267th Pope. That we have. So Peter gets the keys, and Paul gets a sword. He's pictured with a sword. And partly that's because he was not crucified. He was beheaded with a sword. He was a Gentile, so he wasn't, only Romans could be crucified. So they chopped his head off and with a sword. But he also talked so much, especially I'm thinking of Ephesians 6, about having the armor of Christ. So Peter gets the keys, Paul gets the sword. And I want to just reflect for a moment on how we, in our own ways, get keys and a sword. Because we do. Padre Pio said that the key to God's heart is prayer. Today, in our first reading from Acts chapter 12, it was the story of St. Peter and how he was in chains and in prison. But by the power of prayer, he is released and given freedom. I'm thinking about Joshua chapter 6. Remember, the walls of Jericho come down by means of prayer. I was thinking recently about Esther, and in Esther chapter 4, how it is that by means of a beautiful prayer, Esther changes the heart of the king and saves the entire Jewish people by means of a prayer. Prayer is so powerful. Prayer is so powerful. And we don't want to lose these keys, because the keys are to God's heart's prayer. And we're so blessed to be Catholic, because we have so much, the rich tradition of prayer. We have litanies and rosaries and novenas and chaplets and pilgrimages and consecrations and enthronements to the Sacred Heart, for example, the Divine Office, the Angelus, Lectio Divina, the praise and worship music. We have Catholic aspirations. Have you ever heard of those? A Catholic aspiration is simply a beautiful short prayer. Lord, increase my faith. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, I love you. Save souls. Jesus, I trust in you. I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. These are examples of little aspirations that we could even say as we're driving the car, or as we're walking down the hallway in the office, or when we're in school or whatever. These little aspirations, just short little ones, you can make up your own, that we just pray in our heart throughout the day. The key to God's heart is prayer. We've been given these keys. We can't lose them. We can't lose them. When I was the associate pastor at Our Lady of Greenwood, this one day, Monsignor Mark Schwarzkopf, who is a funny fella, he lost his keys, and you'd have thought the world ended. All the staff just like spent the whole rest of the day like looking for his keys. He lost them for 2 days. And of course, I lost my keys every day. You think anybody ever helped me? No. But the funny thing was that one day, after 2 days, he's like so honked off, you know, and like any of us would be. And I open my window in the morning, and I look out the window, which is on the first floor. And the sun was hitting these keys, you know. And I thought, oh my gosh, are those Monsignor's keys? So I went out and picked them up. And to this day, Monsignor thinks that I intentionally was hiding his keys for 2 days. And he was so mad at me. I said, Monsignor, I promise you, I did not steal your keys. Anyways. But how often, like, we lose these keys? These keys, this rich tradition of prayer. How could we not make use of these? And, like, that's a lot of stuff. Chaplets, novenas, like, but holy hours. But to be going deeper all the time, deeper in the life of prayer. It's so beautiful. And just as easily as we might lose the keys of prayer, we might lose our sword. The sword which is given to St. Paul, but also given to us. I'm thinking of spiritual practices and sacramentals. In Matthew chapter 17, Jesus says, some demons can only come out by fasting. How many of us are doing that a lot, you know? Hebrews chapter 4 says that the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. That the Bible can be this incredible weapon. When the enemy comes out. Did you catch in our second reading? It was so beautiful that St. Paul says to Timothy, when I proclaimed the word, I was rescued from the lion's mouth. That even proclamation of the word or just talking about Jesus can, the devil doesn't like the name of Jesus. And you start talking about the Lord, the devil's taking flight. What a sword is proclamation. What a sword is the Holy Scriptures. 1 Peter says that acts of charity cancel a multitude of sins. You want to fight the devil? Acts of charity is a phenomenal way. What a sword to fight not just against the enemy, but for all that is good, holy, and beautiful. To do acts of charity? Devil takes flight. Holy water, spiritual reading, scapulars, cross necklaces and medals, the invocation of Our Lady, the invocation of the saints, Marian consecration. All of these things are the swords. We don't want to lose them. We can't lose them. Because if we lose them, spiritual warfare is real. And the enemy does not want you going to heaven. He doesn't want you here at church. He doesn't want us doing anything. But with these swords, we can be delivered from the lion's mouth by putting these, and we can't lose the keys, we can't lose the sword. And my gosh, it is so heavenly. The greatest of all swords, the greatest of all prayers, the sacraments. The sacraments are portals to heaven and heaven to our participation in the sacraments brings heaven into our souls. When we were getting ready back there for Mass today, I said to one of the servers and said, look at all these souls that are so hungry for God. I love it. It's the best thing. And when we come here, we receive heaven. Oh my gosh. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.